When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up 5-6 flights of stairs.
So what?
So what? So let's dance. I was alone. I never knew what could left me. Bah! Now, what the devil? Then we sang about the love and things. The man's a menace.
Hello, everyone, yet again. Welcome to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Kevin Goatee in the house. Jeffrey Paul joining me as usual. And our guest, Mike Cannon, will be in a few minutes. Jeffrey, how the hell are you?
Hello, everybody. I'm fine. I'm joining you as usual. Glad to be here.
Been an interesting 2 weeks, as always. The audio keeps cutting. Anne-Marie, the audio keeps cutting in and out. I can't hear
No, it's...
My headphones are...
It's your headphones. It's not...
Oh.
It's not... Headphones
on. Testies, one, two, three.
It's perfect.
There you go. Okay, cool. All right, never mind. We missed shit anyway. So, got a lot going on. We got winter baseball meetings going on right now in D.C. NFL right now in the very home stretch. A lot of people are getting knocked out of contention. Where do you want to start, Jeffrey Paul?
Let's talk a little bit hot stove league.
Right. Yankees got Matt Holliday yesterday for a year for $13 million. Not a bad deal. Right into power batting there to give Bird some time off at first base. I like the deal as a Yankee fan. Thoughts?
Well, you said it right before, man. There's nothing wrong with a one-year deal.
Right.
I like him in the DH slot as well.
Right.
I always thought Matt Holliday was a good, solid hitter. You know, he reminds me a lot of Beltran. You know, things like that. He hits for average, he'll hit for power.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's going to go down at some point during the year. I also think, it takes a lot of the pressure off of a lot of, the young Yankee kids, so they don't have to perform right at the beginning. It gives them a little bit of insurance. I really like the move a lot, in fact.
Veteran presence in clubhouse, too, I might add. A lot of guys are on their way. I mean, A-Rod's out. He was a veteran presence. The only guy really with any kind of veteran stature would be Sabathia, and you usually don't have a pitcher. Is it a leader of the clubhouse, so to speak? I mean, what, Gardner? I mean, they went homegrown guys as the leader of the clubhouse.
You think we're going to try and trade Gardner this year?
I've heard that. I don't know. I mean, I like Gardner. I like him as a homegrown guy who's made it this far. I don't know. What are they going to get for Brett Gardner? Not much. So
maybe shed a little bit of payroll. I don't think there's even a spot.
He's not making much, though.
Is he? I thought he signed a contract extension a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but what's he getting a year? Maybe 10?
No, I think you need to make a little bit more than that.
Oh, God.
But even still, listen, look at this outfit that they're going to eventually have. They got the kid Clint Frazier,
mm-hmm.
Who's supposed to be a five-tool stud. You got the big kid
Judge.
Judge, right. Big power hitter. And then you have room for one more guy. And that's either, you got to keep Ellsbury because no one's going to take that contract.
Horrible yeah. Contract that was. Yuck.
You knew it from the second they signed them to.
Ugh.
So the guy who you're going to trade, and you would love to get rid of Ellsbury, but you're not going to, so you're going to have to get rid of Gardner.
I don't think they need to get rid of Gardner. I mean, maybe next year when they go out and get
Harper. Well, Harper's 2 years away.
No, he's a year. Next year is when they can sign him.
It's 2 years.
No, it's yes. not. It's
it,
not.
It was just on MLB today.
Him and Machado are both free agents.
In fact,
after next year.
If you what? So after this season?
After 2017 season, they are
right.
Free agents.
That's 2 years away. It's two seasons. He has two more. Yes, he has two more seasons left in Washington.
He has
one. And in fact, two. And in fact, John Heyman just said it and broke it today. That this is what he's asking for. He wants 10 years, $400 million.
That's it? I'm surprised. I thought he was going to ask for $500 million. And I know Boris is his agent. He does that. I know.
There's no... there is going to be a team that's going to pony up.
We are. Because, the Yankees are.
Because you knew. Because who thought that, 10 years, $250 million was going to be, the A-Rod contract. And then he winds up surpassing it. But no... Harper is going to want, he just said, the Mavs came out today, $400 million. Fucking nuts.
He'll get it. He'll get it from us and so will Machado. The Yankees will spend $1 billion nearly on two players. Watch.
Oh, I hope not.
I do. We need some pitching, though. This pitching is pathetic.
Exactly.
Well, there's no pitching out there, really. And the sad thing is the guy that they are also is going to come off with the Harper Machado class, Fernandez of Miami. The Yankees would have thrown a fucking King's ransom at him, too.
chips.
As they said in Major League, he's dead. Well, he's dead. We'll cross him off then. I just watched that again on Saturday. What a classic. Absolutely fucking love that film.
I'm surprised they're not going all in for sale.
No, because you know why? They need to give up all those prospects that they just got, and that's the last thing you want to do is empty the ship.
I don't think they're going to go for Machado, and here's the reason why. Because they're projecting the kid Torres, who they got in the Chapman deal, to be the third baseman.
And Machado's filthy.
Of course he is. And Didi is still young enough and good enough where he can't play that. He'll still play a good shortstop. I think the odd guy out, it seems like, is going to be...
Ruff Snyder?
Him.
I love him. He's great.
Well, I think he could be a bench player, but I think Castro, they'll look into deal. Because also on MLB today, they were talking about the Yankees kind of being in on the second baseman there. What's his name? Dozier? Yeah.
From Minnesota?
Yes.
Yeah. When's he a free agent?
He's not a free agent. They're going to trade for him.
They're not ready to trade. They have to build up, get those big guys on offense, and get at least one pitcher. Besides Tanaka, we're fucked.
We're looking at multiple moves here. I mean, I think they would like to get Dozier in to get a little bit of more power in the lineup, but then turn around and trade Castro, package him with something else for some type of pitching. What that pitching is, I don't know. But this has been all coming down today.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch MLB Station, you can start to see. The ticket go by and all the tweets from like all their correspondents. So
Cashman was on Russo today, and of course he didn't give that much away. He never does.
Never does.
And he's like, oh yeah, you know, we're looking. Talk about Holiday, and he said, you know, they'd like to have Chapman back. But I mean, like I said, now the Melanson signed with was it Nationals today?
Who, Melanson?
Melanson, yeah,
signed with the Giants.
Giants, that's what I meant. Yeah, Giants. That his price is only going to go up. And he is strictly a one-inning pitcher, which is why Mariano Rivera will always be the greatest pitcher of all time in the bullpen, because he would go two innings and how many times in a playoff series. And Chapman has proven that he can only go one inning per game.
And that's the reason why I can't see a team pointing it up 6 years. I could see the money before I can see the years.
No, I agree. Give him 3 years, 25 per.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a lot of money.
I know it is.
Especially for a guy, I mean, what's his arsenal? It's his fastball. I mean, and a guy sometimes who kind of like loses it, he doesn't really have that amazing secondary pitch, you know?
No.
So, I mean, that's why, one, I don't think he's getting six. I could see him getting somewhere four for maybe about, you know, 100.
That's fair, too.
A team, Newell will do that? Like the stupid Nationals.
They're always on the precipice every year, and they always shit the bed.
Well, he just lost that closer.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't that good anyway. I wouldn't say that's really losing much. Melanson shit the bed a lot.
He was fine.
No. And even when he's in Pittsburgh, in Boston, too. Ask the Boston fans about him. He's fucking...
He's a different pitcher, though.
He's not dependable. Not dependable. That is not a major loss for the Nationals.
I disagree. It's a major loss if they don't replace him. If they don't get Jansen or Chapman, who's causing him? The backup is Brad Ziegler?
From Arizona?
Well, he's on Boston.
I'm just saying he was on Arizona. Yeah. He traded for me. I had him watching fantasy. Yeah, he's trash.
So they'll keep him for 1 year, and they'll look to go back into the market next year. And that's a guy who the Mets are targeting, not to close games, but to just kind of eat up a little bit of time until Familia comes back. Because you know Familia's going to be out for at least a month.
Chapman got a month. Anything less would be a fucking surprise.
It has to be a month.
Didn't he cut a PSA about beating his wife literally a week before that shit went down?
He probably did.
No, I'm like 99% sure he did. Speaking of the Mets, you guys re-signed Cespedes, give him the King's ransom. It's funny how on Facebook everyone's like, yay, Cespedes. But man, when he doesn't leg out those fucking, you know, singles that should be doubles.
You got to live with it.
I know you do.
And also, look at the Met history. With Jason Bay and the bring it back of Bonilla and all these guys who just never worked out. At least you got a guy who you know could make it here, who has been successful here. And those guys, you know, there's not a lot of them.
No.
So you had a sign Cespedes.
What did he get, 30 a year?
He got 4 years, 110.
So just under 40, 35 a year.
Not terrible.
No, God, it's fucking, again, I know it's inflation.
That's less than 35.
Wait, 110 in 4 years?
110 in 4 years.
So like 27, 28. Yeah. Sorry.
Which is what he was making last year. So basically, he did get a 5-year contract.
Right. What's up? No.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. NFL, the Giants went out and had a stinker. I was not surprised that they went to Pittsburgh and lost. They've always had trouble with the Steelers. Not surprised. They play Dallas Sunday night. I'll be there. It's going to be, I don't know. The Giants, I guess, they need to win. Like they need to get the 10 is the magic number. Giants looking good. I mean, I don't know. We'll see about looking good. But I'll tell you what was good was my picture yesterday. 7-0-1.
Not too sure.
Lot of fucking free money in that house yesterday, Jeffrey Paul.
Sorry
a lot of free money.
But Kevin Goatee, before you start like counting your Giant playoff tickets.
I didn't say that.
Just calm down a bit for the next five games. I mean,
it's never easy.
They lost to the Steelers.
Okay.
Dallas is going to be tough. And
sure.
And the most underrated team in the NFL right
and
now.
And I bet him yesterday hit
Detroit
plus
Lions.
7. That was ridiculous how that went up to 7. I said, no way.
I was watching that game. That defense is legit.
Surprising.
Really, it's very surprising.
Let me see them. Let me see them outdoors, though. See, that's the thing. Let me see them outdoors.
Jim Caldwell.
Yeah.
He's a real good defensive guy.
Yeah. Let me see them outdoors. That 1 o'clock, it's going to be fucking, I don't know, 35, 40 degrees that Sunday. It's going to be fucking cold. Let me see that.
Let
me see Stafford in a big pressure situation on the road in the cold. Let me see this.
Okay, so then they have Washington. That's going to be a tough game. And I'll give you the Eagles because I think the Eagles are done.
But they'll play them hard because we hate each other. They will show up for that game. Make no mistake about that.
I like the Giants over the Eagles anyway. But you know they have to win two of the next four.
Doable. I mean, they have the Skins, like you said, Dallas, Philly, and of course the Lions.
And a team that just looks atrocious right now. I mean, could be the second worst offensive team in the league is Minnesota. So I don't know where their wins are coming from.
Did I tell you I put 500 on the under for wins this year? It was 9.5, and they start out 5-0. I'm like, well, this is a lost cause. Now I'm like, fuck, I'm looking good.
I think you're going to get it.
I think I am, too. And I hit the over for Oakland wins.
Where they have to go 9.5?
Then the over is 9.5.
No, I think you're good. They're not winning three of the next four.
Who the fuck do they have?
Emery,
who do the Vikings have next?
They can't
Jaguars fucking
score.
Jaguars, that's a win. They're terrible. Who else?
We got Green Bay on Christmas Eve.
At Green Bay or at Minnesota?
Loss.
At Green Bay,
that's a loss.
Loss.
And the Bears. Win. The Bears are in Chicago or in Minnesota?
I believe Minnesota.
In Minnesota. The Bears are tricky weird.
They're tricky weird because that defense is good and John Fox is a good coach.
They'll be playing for him. And that's another thing I have to say. The under of the Bears game in a fucking snowstorm.
That will also be an unwatchable game.
Oh, God, yeah. The last few weeks of the season have a fucking shitload of unbearably awful fucking games. Like, the NFL is just... and all that. Russo was talking about today. He's like, you know, all these games we're going to have to watch the last 2 weeks. I mean, no one's going to give a shit unless you're gambling, which I will be.
And the Colts, I forgot that.
Oh, yeah. And who else?
Colts.
And the Colts. Where at?
Home.
Colts on the road. In a dome, that could be troublesome for the Vikes. Could be troublesome.
Yeah, especially if the Colts are still around and you know still.
Colts playing the Jets tonight being Monday night.
Right, and Texas lost yesterday.
That was another easy one I had. I took the Vikings. The Packers at home and the under, and yet again a snowstorm. Who's going to trust Sam Bradford on the road in a snowstorm?
Beautiful.
Not me. Minus 6.5, 1-7. Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. And the under, that was a no brainer too. Free money. But, so Giants got to win a couple. Again, it's never fucking easy with this team. Anyone who's going to be like, oh, that was a horrible game. I had that game pegged as a loss from day one when I saw the schedule. So they're losing.
And look, the game was, at one point, you know, they're getting outplayed. The turning point of the game was that shit interception.
Which one? The first one where he threw in the end zone to Tim's?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, it turns out to be like almost like a 9-point swing at that point.
And the holding call on Flowers, I tell you what, and this is me not saying this is why we lost, but man, everyone, the Steelers, the Cowboys, and the Packers, they fucking, NFL loves to suck their dicks. And why do I say that? There were some calls against us. Okay, the holding call in the end zone, all right, that's a fair call. But then Ben Roethlisberger gets a lot. That holding call where he heaved that bomb, Antonio Brown, blatant holding by the left tackle, blatant fucking holding. Pass interference too late on the game, the Giants didn't get either. It's fucking. They're getting a lot of. They weren't getting some calls here. Mike Cannon in the house, everybody.
There he is.
Hello.
What's going on, buddy?
Sorry, you want me to go?
All right. Sorry, guys.
We have a special guest.
What's going on, sir? Mike Cannon, sir. We're talking football, yeah. Mike Cannon. Who's your team?
I'm a Giants guy.
Goddamn right you are. That's a good spirit.
The gray in Mike Cannon.
Yeah. What a brutal fucking game yesterday.
I mean, did you really think they're going to win? I mean, I was telling Jeff about 2 minutes ago when the schedule came out. I said, there's no way they win Pittsburgh. No.
I mean, going into it, we seemed to be like the exact opposite of the team from last year. Where we just seemed to finish anything that that was remotely close, where last year we just pissed it away constantly.
Right.
So, I don't know. I thought, especially with our defense, I thought we had a shot, but Eli went Eli. Yeah, he looked real bad.
Eli went Eli. The face, the fucking hangdog look. I mean, he was underthrowing guys who were wide open.
The thing that scares me about Eli, you watch him, he's got happy feet in the pocket, and that offensive line is a
atrocious. Eric Flowers should be lined up by a firing squad and shot.
So he's
fucking terrible.
And that's a first-round pick. And they could have had Tunsil, too.
That was not this year. Tunsil was this year.
Right.
Eli
you're
Apple
right.
was our first round pick this
right.
year, and they could have Tunsil.
He had a game of his life yesterday too.
Yeah. Ugh.
I will say this: like, I'm not really a conspirator when I say, like, you know, Odell or the Giants don't get calls. But yesterday there was like
I just say 35 seconds before you walked in the fucking door?
Is that right?
Because that holding when Ben threw that touchdown to Antonio Brown, there was blatant holding by the left tackle.
Right.
And then that was a non-call. And then the pass interference later on. Again, it's not why we lost. Eli fucking shit the bed.
For sure.
And it's not, but the refs love Pittsburgh, Dallas, and the Green Bay Packers.
Now, Packers get every call.
They ain't giving our producer, Emery, agrees as a Viking fan.
Every call.
So.
I can't stand the Packers.
Not to mention, I'm sure you guys probably already talk about this or on past episodes, but anytime Joe Buck is doing the fucking Giants.
That's Kevin loves Joe Buck.
Listen, especially no Yankee fan worth his salt likes him. The guy, and he's so anti-Yankee. I don't want pro Yankee. Give me neutral. Like Tom Brenneman and Harold Reynolds from back in the day, love them. Don't give me anti-Yankee. Give me fucking down the middle. Called as you see it. Joe Buck is fucking was high-fiving McCarver every time the Yankees fucking got knocked out.
How about when Joe Morgan used to do that?
Yuck. Every 2 seconds. Well, you know, back when I was on the green, the big red machine, like, shut the fuck up, dude. It's like, enough already. What are you blowing Dave Concepcion in the fucking seventh inning back in 75? Jesus Christ. You like that? Someone knows this fucking shit, boys.
I would pay a hair doctor good money to have frozen Joe Buck's dumb fucking face on, like, his 12th hair transplant.
You think he had something to do with that?
Oh, of course. He just said it almost ended his career, right?
Yeah,
didn't he
say, did.
Like, he had so he was addicted to it to the point where it almost it fucked up his vocal cords.
Yep.
And now the fact that he's like he thinks he's like cool, almost Jeremy Piven in between season of Entourage, Joe Buck, where he's got like the fucking stubble.
Patchiness.
And he's like, yeah, oh man, I want to like lop his head off.
Excellent reference. I love that Piven. That's so perfect. The only thing now he needs is mercury poisoning from eating too much sushi. Like
yeah, and a big scar on the back of his head.
Joe Buck still has that Tom Hagen thin hair, though, look.
Mm-hmm. Wow, the consigliere.
That's right.
Yeah,
it is, because it's too fine. It's like, first of all,
right.
No,
hold on, as someone with very fine hair, I sympathize with Joe Buck in that aspect, because it's a motherfucker. Right?
Yeah, but at least you have reasonable blonde hair. Like, he has blonde hair where nobody his age has that blonde hair, and it's also not consistent across his entire head. It looks like his dye just oxidized at some point, and now it's rainbowing in this fucking dog shit oil
slick. It's like he had 3/4 of a package left, and goes, fuck it, let me see if I can make it through this final stretch, and they're like, oh shit, the bottom part didn't get any dye.
I know that's what happens, because I had to dye my hair for, like, some MTV thing. I'm prematurely gray, and it was good for, like, 2 weeks, and then as soon as I stepped outside and it started growing back, it looked like a fucking bummer.
How many times people tell you look like MCA from the Beastie Boys? 500,000?
That might be my first time. But
shut the fuck up, really?
Yeah,
I thought that's a debt ringer.
I get called a Jew all the time, but
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's mostly on Reddit.
I can see that.
Everyone on Reddit or the internet around the world thinks anyone who's in comedy is a fucking Jew. And here's my story, because if we're doing comics, watching comics, my favorite hate mail I got was 4 unfunny Jews watching Jews. Now, on the panel was me, John Moses, a Canadian ginger, Jimmy Failia, and Leah Bonema. Name one Jew in that crowd. I don't know.
Well, Moses looks pretty Jewish.
It's
funny.
A firebrand ginger.
When that's used as like their, like that's an insult. It's like, no, I'd be doing like really well.
if I was Jewish. Kevin Godeberg would be fucking having a sitcom by now, fuckers. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Mike Kenowitz.
What else in the NFL is going around? Jacksonville should fire their fucking head coach. What's taking so long? Gus Bradley. I'd rather have Milton Bradley.
What's the point?
Right?
That's awful. But what was
what, the player?
Is that
the player of the Bill game?
Is that written?
No, no, no. These are my Christmas films we're going to talk about.
These are the jokes I got to get in today.
Zing. No, I do that with a lot of players. He's terrible.
What's the point? Why? What's going to happen?
Get an interim coach in there just to see if he can fucking carry it.
Does carry why it makes no
just
sense.
Let's
say looks like fucking dog shit.
Yeah, but you might as well audition people
right.
before you have to
commit.
They're
gonna go outside. They're gonna go outside the organization.
Yeah.
Who in their right mind is gonna take that Jacksonville job?
There's talent there.
Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Just step the coach.
Tom Coughlin went. Well, he listen. Here he did it.
He
been
did
there,
it, right?
done that. He was actually
yeah.
took the NFC AFC Championship the first year.
I'll give you a name. I'll give you a name. Mike Patricia.
Oh, okay, from the fucking Patriots.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher might be looking for a new
contract. No. Jeff Fisher signed an extension yesterday.
Did he really?
He did.
He should be hitting
Jeff,
the chest with a fucking javelin.
Jeff Fisher has more blackmail on anyone than WikiLeaks can have fucking a job in the NFL that long for being that less than mediocre. He's fucking terrible.
He still may not make it, even with the extension.
What do you mean he may not make it? It is fucking going to give him like 2 or 3 years. I forgot what it was, 2 years.
The extension was signed at the beginning of the year. It was released yesterday. And the guy who owns the team, the guy Greinke.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Yeah, Greinke, yeah. Kroenke in San Diego.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're right.
So he owns the team, and he has more money than anybody else, okay? For him to just let him go, you know, which is going to be the right move, because they could lose out, okay? And they're going to wind up being, what, 4-12?
Right.
You got to fire the guy.
Expand rookie quarterback, you can't get him that much shit. They should have pulled the trigger on him sooner by having him start. That was dumb. Case Keenum, who's fucking trusting Case Keenum to win any games? Let the rookie out there. That's why he drafted him. Traded up to get him. Fucking play him. Let him go out there.
The defense is in.
Defense is good. I mean, well, the last 2 weeks
they
got smoked.
They stink.
Got smoked.
I think
took the under yesterday in the pass game, too, mind you. Thank you very much.
That's a good move.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Free money. So let's. Tis the season, as they say around here. Christmas films. You talked about a lot of Christmas films coming out sooner or later. We had a list of the most favorite Christmas films of all time and the most overrated Christmas films of all time. Being this is a sports podcast, a podcast about films and film and sports. Let's get back to the film section here. Favorite Christmas films, Mike Cannon. What's your favorite Christmas film?
I mean, the one I've gone back to most recently, I recently watched It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
Because I feel like Trump's America is going to look like Pottersville.
I never saw this film.
You've never fucking seen It's a Wonderful Life.
I used to love Mike Cannon until that comment.
Because you're for Trump's America? Is that why?
Yeah, I put Cannon on a different level. And now
why? Because I made a good reference?
No,
it goes over his little Staten Island brain. That's why.
Just a sleazy businessman that opens up any kind of fucking base consciousness business. Of course.
Do you like the film, Jeffrey Paul?
It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, how can you?
I never saw it. I just not one of those films that
come.
Listen, it's in my queue. I'll get to it. It's not when I have to rush and see it.
Do you know what's weird with that though? Is like you're gonna watch it, and while you're watching it, I don't think you'll hate it, but you're gonna process that you're like, oh, I've basically seen this movie through all the parodies that it spawned. Like I for whatever reason, I'm a maniac, and any movie that people over recommend to me, I don't watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't watch Good Will Hunting for a long time because
you missed out. Great movie, right?
Well, I just recently watched it, but I knew it was going to be my favorite movie, and of course, it's my favorite movie.
My buddy did that with The Matrix. He says it's been too overhyped, and I said The Matrix is one of the greatest films. He's like, nah, now that you've said it, he's like, nah, I can't see it because everyone's been saying it.
Yeah,
and he goes, he still hasn't seen
Matrix.
It. I fucking love
The
Matrix.
Good Will Hunting. Mike Cannon's back on my list.
It's so good, but also while I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, I've seen this scene on The Simpsons.
Right.
I've seen
Family
Guy. Like, it's hilarious.
I've seen that scene in Clerks 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. There you go. The best Christmas film of all time, listen up, boys. Is Die Hard. I will not listen to any other
Christmas movie. Is that a Christmas movie?
You bet your fucking ass it is.
I suppose technically it is, yeah.
I don't know. I'll watch it other than Christmas time.
I mean,
it's really tough for them. Like, you got to give Elf credit because it's one of the most recent ones that actually broke into the regular rotation now. Like, it's tough because all of the Christmas Story, you got It's a Wonderful Life, you have all these, you know, Christmas Carol, all of these classics that make up the Christmas rotation. That's kind of a tough thing to break into.
Right.
But Elf was, like, one of the few recent ones that just kind of completely broke in.
Completely agree. When TBS jams it down your throat 3 times a night for fucking 2 weeks straight,
right, yeah.
That is definitely a sign of success.
And it made Zooey Deschanel palatable.
Yuck. That's why we should.
Exactly.
That's the reason why we should hate her. Ouch. I do like Elf, though. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Paul, give me your next Christmas list film.
I had Elf, but I'm going to go with. I love
the obvious.
I love Home Alone.
Yeah. I thought you were going to shit on that. I have it on my list too. I mean,
no,
what communist hates Home Alone?
It's a fun movie to drink to. I mean, I like
it's
drinking to and watching all these movies. Yeah,
right.
Joe Pesci is hilarious. It's like you watch any of his other work.
Daniel Stern.
Yep.
The part with the spider still makes me laugh.
I like
that movie.
Yeah, Daniel Stern is hilarious in that movie, and also
Buzz, the fucking brother, cracks me up too.
Right.
I I've done blow with that guy.
Best humble brag I've heard all day.
Years ago at some party in Rockland County. It was hilarious.
So his career is going great, I see.
I mean, I think he's doing all right now. He probably had a rough patch, as we all do.
When you're doing blow with Mike Cannon, you're making it.
Goddamn right. At a house party that I showed up late to and drank 45 beers and skyrocketed past everyone.
when you're saying, hey, guess who bought that fucking line of cocaine you're about to do? Chris Columbus. That's a sign of success.
I must have said, Buzz, your girlfriend, woof, maybe 75 times.
I was
going to
say that line eventually.
He must have loved you for that.
Oh, no, he probably was like, who the fuck is this kid?
But you good, little stain.
But good drugs, though.
And, well, there you go. Fun fact. The obvious on the list, too, of course, is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I mean, find me someone else who hates that film.
I like that's obvious. Can.
What?
It's obvious.
Of course it is. I think that's a quintessential Christmas film that no one can talk shit about.
I don't know. I'm kind of a creep. I watch that movie. I just look at Beverly D'Angelo's tits.
Amazing.
And that satin
thing.
And it's got, has a little opening. She is so...
She got topless in the first film.
She's so hot.
But it's so funny how time is so cruel to some people. Like, you see, like, an entourage. Holy shit. She looks like a horse about who just finished 8th at Yonkers. My God.
Wait, who did she play?
She was Clark's wife.
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, she was Ari Gold's partner, Miller Gold, when they merged the agency.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Dude, I love
that
show.
But I think Christmas Vacation was like a pinnacle. She looked the best.
Yeah, she was
smoking
hot.
She's like a MILF. She still has nice hair.
I see your point. I just still say the first one was the best because you see her tits, solely based on that.
Do you see her tits on that?
Absolutely. When they're in the motel, right before Rusty goes out to the pool.
Was that rated R?
The first one was R, and the rest were PG-13. Yep.
Well, you only see it on TV, so you don't see
What was the first PG-13 film? A little bit of history here for you kids.
The first ever?
First ever PG-13 film.
Oh, I don't know.
No, Die Hard.
Wrong, that was R. Indiana Jones and Temple Doom.
Oh, no.
Eat a dick. Next Christmas film, Mike Cannon. Give me another one of your all-time favorites.
I mean, I like all of these ones with moral compasses. I do like A Christmas Carol. I'm not sure which one is my favorite. Probably Muppet. The Muppets one.
Excellent choice.
Yeah, because Beaker gives the finger. It's like a low-key, like, dirty moment.
What about Scrooge, then?
Excellent.
Yeah.
I used to
stay at Bill Murray's house when I was a kid. I was best buddies with his kid growing up.
I see my own humble brag and re-raise all in.
Yeah, damn right.
Did you do well with him?
I did not do. I was only 11, so I wasn't quite into that yet. But
he just did smoke some weed, though. I mean, yeah.
He did ump one of our Little League games, though.
Was he a good umpire?
No, he was hilarious. Like, all the parents were loving
it. But were you getting mad, though, because you're playing and then you're taking it serious and he's fucking around?
I don't really remember. I think he actually took it relatively serious, but he's one of those, like, Will Ferrell type of guys that, like, no matter what he does, it's just funny.
Right.
Like, you just look at him and he's fucking funny.
Right.
He just has that. So I think the parents were getting the humor more so than the kids. The kids were just fired up to have this guy, you know, on our field, I think.
Cannon's lived a pretty interesting life so far.
I mean, those are some fucking... You're the second most interesting person who sat in that chair next to Lenny Dykstra.
I love that you've had Lenny Dykstra on here. I actually got him confused with Jim Leyritz the other night. I thought he killed somebody. I was like, how is he out?
Jim Leyritz, Yankee fucking folklore hero.
Jim Leyritz used to be one of my favorite baseball players.
Clutch.
Then he started getting drunk and murdering people, and he became my all-time great.
That's what I was turned off to.
Who's your favorite football players? Ray Kruth and Fred Lane?
Yeah. I love those too.
Who'd Fred Lane kill?
Didn't he kill his? He got shot in a fucking car. Or was that Ray Kruth's girlfriend? Ray Kruth paid to have his girlfriend killed.
Oh, right. No,
Fred Lane was running back for fucking Jacksonville.
No, he wasn't running back for Jacksonville.
Yes.
No, but who was the guy on Cincinnati who jumped on his girl's car and I think he died?
Chris Henry.
Chris Henry.
Yeah, my buddy played football at West Virginia with that dude, and he used to rob ecstasy dealers together.
Of course he did.
That wasn't me. That's not my life. That's just me.
I mean,
also, my friend went to the fucking insane asylum after that because he was like, he thought he was Jesus Christ. So, you know.
Take a number, asshole.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Rockland Community for 2 years, played basketball, got recruited to play at a few places, was going to play up at Geneseo, and ended up going there. But I was on steroids, and I got a hemorrhoid, Jesus Christ. I got a hernia, I tore my ab, and I tore my groin squatting, so I was just out.
How many basketball players do you hear taking steroids? That's interesting.
I mean, I'm 6 foot and a half, 6'1", you know, 6'2", with sneakers. Yeah,
you're a point guard.
So, for community college, I played against, like, top talent. I mean, it was all kids that went to Gonzaga, St. John's, all that stuff, but they didn't have the grades to get in.
Right.
So I'm playing against these borderline retarded, amazing athletes. So I had really nothing to offer. I found my limitations really quickly. So I was like, well, let's see if we can find an edge. and it didn't work.
Step one, dye your skin black. Yeah. Step two, never mind. All right, next on my list, it's another Christmas film. I think kind of flies under the radar. Gremlins.
That's a Christmas film?
Yeah. Happens at Christmas. Wow. Fucking Phoebe Cates' dad dies in the middle of a chimney trying to be Santa Claus. I mean, that's fucking... Happens during Christmas.
If a Santa Claus references in there, I don't
think... But it happens... The film actually takes place during Christmas.
True. At least there's Christmas lights in Die Hard.
How about Ernest Saves Christmas on that?
Oh, that's a great one. Ernest Scared Stupid is one of my favorite movies.
Ernest Goes to Camp, my all-time favorite.
How about a bumper sandwich booger lips? I used to love Ernest.
The fucking bag, the Dean from Animals is the villain and Ernest Goes to Camp. Oh my God.
I remember crying when I was a kid when he got his ass kicked on the construction site.
Yes.
Right?
Like, you cried over Ernest getting beat up?
Dude, that is one of the saddest movies ever. I watched it routinely and I cried every single time. And yes, I was a child.
It's faggot. Trigger word alert! Trigger word alert! Woo woo! Jeffrey Paul, what do you have on your list next?
I'm going Bad Santa.
I fucking hate that film.
I know you
overrated. I've never seen it. And the second one, predicted, is a piece of shit. It bombed at the theater. I just don't care. It just was like, ugh. It's a film. And I love R-rated comedies, but it's a film just so guys can say "fuck" in a Santa outfit. Big deal.
Right.
Not impressed. Sorry.
Billy Bob and Monsters Ball.
Yeah, dude. Anytime someone fucking knocks out Halle Berry like that, dude, you got a fucking high five coming from me.
Do you think they really had sex?
Yes.
There's no way they didn't.
Yeah,
He's a
freak.
Yeah, they were knee deep. He was knee deep. Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous. I saw this. One of my favorite sites is egotastic.com. Yeah, it's an awesome site. And they just did like this breakdown of that scene to see, like, try to find if there was insertion or where he tucked away. And it's really inconclusive. Like, you kind of see his ball bag underneath there a few times on some stills, and you're like, Jesus, what the hell was
it? It must have been, like, the tiniest of, like, the little, like, bikinis that they wear, like, the teeniest. Yeah. If there was some penetration, then this is, that acting right there showing that they didn't fuck is the best acting I've ever fucking seen in my life.
I mean, you're in that position with Halle Berry. How are you not?
How are you not with anybody, to be perfectly honest? Like, I have to film some sex scene for this indie that I'm doing, and, like, I'm nervous about it. I haven't even kissed another woman in 9 years or whatever, because I've
been... That'll admit on the microphone.
Yeah, no, but I've been with my wife for that long, and so, like, it just seems... It's such an uncomfortable thing for me, because I know I'm going to get hard.
Yeah.
There's no physical way. I have no professionalism when it comes to acting. I'm a fucking dick joke comedian. Like, what am I going to do?
Jerk off before you shoot it.
Well, that's true, but that just means I'll last longer.
So true.
But also, I found out Denzel Washington apparently tells his co-stars, like, sorry if I do, sorry if I don't.
I'm like, just say that.
You got to own it.
Yeah.
Just say this. I'm a method actor. And that's it. Walk away. Yeah. Done. Method.
Jerk off twice.
Here's another one, and you're gonna probably both these. You know what? Lethal Weapon, another Christmas film. What do you think about that?
I don't even see the Christmas.
That yeah,
what were they like? Mike said a string of Christmas lights in the movie.
Listen, Christmas that happens during Christmas. But I get it. Trading Places is another film that doesn't take place during Christmas.
See, I would give you more on that.
Yeah, I know. Like Lethal Weapon is a stretch. Let's get into one.
I mean, if that's the case, can you say, like, Schindler's List? It did snow.
That's a Hanukkah good film.
That wasn't snow.
The 1993 comedy of the year, Schindler's List? I've got three of the most overrated pieces of shit Christmas films. We were going to talk about one of Bad Santa. Oh, God. Christmas Story can't suck enough dicks.
You're out of here.
Only time I'm ever going to fist bump
fucking
you.
Terrible fucking film.
Disagree.
I dare you watch it again right now.
I watch it every year.
Oh, Mike Cannon, we have to have a discussion. You'll shoot your eye. Oh, my God.
I mean, sure, there's annoying elements to it, but the general, like, kind of, the whole, I like it. Ralphie, he's a good kid.
Ralphie.
That little fucking orange-haired kid, that gets his ass kicked. Vargas.
I
think it's Scott Vargas or something. Vargas. That might be from another movie.
Vargas.
Yeah. Watch it twice, once as a kid, once an adult, said, nope, I was right when I was 8, and I'm right when I was fucking 28, whatever.
I tried to like that movie, man. I just can't take it.
Nope. Man. What do you got, Jeffrey Paul, on your list of overrated Christmas films?
I got a couple. Here's one that's just brutal. I don't know if you ever saw Fred Claus.
No, I haven't seen a Vince Vaughn film since Maine.
Vince Vaughn, Paul
Giamatti.
Giamatti's in it. Kevin Spacey. I mean, it's got a great cast. It is one of the biggest pieces of shit.
I believe it's where Vince Vaughn takes, he's Santa Claus's brother and kind of takes over.
Fred, you get it?
I do get it.
Isn't that great? What a great premise.
I mean, then again, fucking Santa's real name is Chris.
With a K.
Yeah.
I don't trust any guys with the name Christopher with a K, right?
Single syllable names are not for me.
Mike,
right, Paul?
Yeah, that film's trash. Not a fan. How about Reindeer Games? Let's even go more.
Oh, this is not my fault.
Ben Affleck.
Oh, I like that. That's Charlize Theron gets naked in that movie, right?
That's the only reason why I like it. She also naked 2 days in the Valley, if you ever saw that one.
Yes. And who else is in that? Lieutenant Dan?
Gary Sinise.
Yeah, yeah. He's in that movie looking pretty like, I think he wore the same Lieutenant Dan wig.
Right.
Oh, he has long hair in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a wig. It has to be, right?
I guess. I don't know. But, you know, I didn't think it was that bad. I think I watched it when I was, like,
was
babysitting
his name Stan?
When I was 16.
Lieutenant Stan?
Stan. That's funny. Mike Ken, what do you have as an overrated Christmas film?
The Santa Claus 3.
Oh, that's terrible.
I like the first two.
The
third one, Jump the Shark.
Is that when we used to freeze guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it? I didn't see that one.
Jack Frost.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, that's no, a, that's a different one. That's Michael...
is that Robin Williams?
No,
Michael Keaton. That's
Michael,
it.
Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
No, no, no. That's the one with Martin Short.
No, no, but there's another one called
no,
Jack Frost.
But no, his name is Jack Frost.
Yeah, yuck. Oh. Santa Claus 1 and 2 I'm cool with.
Yeah.
But 3, I never saw 3 because it's just like dog shit. So I said...
Whatever happened to that kid? That kid was a little hot commodity back
Jonathan
then.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
No, it was some other kid.
He was at a party doing some blow with Buzz.
Yeah. He was the one that didn't make it. He clutched his chest.
Had a heart attack, died.
Tim Allen on the way down.
He River Phoenix it outside the Viper Room. That's what happened. Now he's just an asterisk in IMDb. Sad, sad state of affairs. All right. Well, that's our list of Christmas.
Well, I had
oh, yeah,
no,
I'm sorry.
I just I was curious if you guys ever saw it. Jingle All the Way.
Never
Arnold
saw it.
With Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
I didn't see it. Not a, it's a, yeah, I love Arnold, but nope, sorry.
I can't take him as an actor. I loved the movies back then, but now all I keep hearing is like a parody of his voice.
Right.
Jingle All the Way. That's horrible.
He's a long way from like Terminator 2, True Lies. It's been a long
great,
time.
That movie.
I know they're great. I'm saying it's been a long time. Yeah. They kept talking about for a while that they're going to make a sequel. I'm like, well, fucking go already. Jesus Christ.
James Cameron seems to be busy doing a whole lot of nothing.
No. I'll tell you exactly what he's doing. Avatar 2 and 3 are being like pre-production right now.
I know. He's like developing spaceships that he can film or whatever. So I get it. He's doing more important than
Sorry, kids. Can't do True Lies 2. I'm working on a film that's going to make another $1.75 billion.
Wait, who are you casting in True Lies 2 now?
Of all of them,
Jamie Lee Curtis, you're gonna bring it back?
Why wouldn't you? And Eliza Dushku.
Oh, that song scene might be one of the hottest scenes.
Best trainee scene
ever.
That
was also over 20 years ago. Have you seen Jamie Lee Curtis recently?
Times are tough, bro.
No.
Watch Christmas with the Cranks.
How about watch her that Nuvia, that nutritious supplement commercial she does too? How about that
the
one?
The shit yogurt.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yes, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, Four Christmases, another shit movie.
Never saw it.
Reese Witherspoon
awful.
And Vincent Vaughn. Vincent Vaughn.
Vincent. What are you, his dad?
I guess.
Another Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Jeff Paul, how about that one film that you wanted to see, the all black Christmas film that just came out?
I'm not going to watch that.
Racist.
Which one?
The one, was it, oh, fuck. It just came out a couple weeks ago. It was
like
with Danny Glover.
This Christmas.
And J.B. Smooth.
It's awful.
Him and Shannon Sharpe need to have a fucking cop sidekick film together. And all you do is just watch the captions on the bottom of the screen, because I cannot understand what the fuck either of those guys are saying at any time.
It's like Swamp People. They just have captions underneath them.
Yeah. So that's it for Christmas films. Yeah, we're good. Covered them all.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's
I think we're fine.
All right, cool. Now, Mike, this next thing we're going to do, it's a game we play. I said before, I have this retarded ability to predict what movies are going to make opening weekend. So
okay.
The box office gross game. So we have a couple films we saw that we did for a couple weeks ago, and then we're going to have you jump in for the upcoming releases in the next few weeks. So, Jeffrey Paul, let's go back to the ones we had from 2 weeks ago.
I got it.
You got it. Okay, so last one was Aaron Eckhart, who can't make a good film since Past the Dark Knight, in a new one called Incarnate. What do we have number-wise?
Okay, this is who played last week. We had Alan Finn as our guest.
Right.
And we looked at five films. Incarnate. You had predicted $6 million.
Right.
I went with five, mm-hmm. And then Alan went with six.
You said five?
I said five.
Give yourself a check mark. 2.6.
Holy shit.
They gave less of a fuck than I thought they were going to give.
Why is that? Like, Aaron Eckhart seems like the only person, I mean, aside from Katie Holmes in the original Batman Begins, but like... the only person from those movies that doesn't seem to have gotten any traction from it.
Right. I mean, besides Thank You for Smoking, which was done before that.
How does he stand out from anybody?
No, he doesn't.
I mean, I thought he was pretty good as Two-Face, I guess. But, I mean, you know, it was no Tommy Lee Jones, I suppose.
Yikes. Yeah. Thanks for fucking that one up, Joel Schumacher.
I don't think he can carry a film. That's a
No, he can't. I mean, he did a Frankenstein thing that came out and came and left in about 35 seconds.
I Frankenstein.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, who saw that? No one. That's why he's taking... He's just taking anything that they say, fucking, here's some money. Want it? Yeah, sure. Right. What have to do? Kill someone, and, you know, for real life? Great, okay. Next, we had the Pixar film Moana. Crushed. Yeah, I told you it was going to crush. Yeah, give me the numbers, Jeffrey Paul.
I think you got this. You went big time. You went 95, which may have even been a little low.
Mm-hmm.
I went 50, and Alan went 45.
You dummies. $91.5 million. Ooh. I was a little off. I told you, man. Pixar... Thanksgiving weekend, 5-weekend jump, yeah. You can't fucking miss. Those
Dude,
guys
the,
Ro- are cool.
The Rock is the new Will Smith, man. He's like, yeah. Unbelievable. There's not anything he put his name on that isn't apparently going to be successful.
Right, but I'm going to challenge you with a future endeavor.
Baywatch?
No, but I like the way you think.
Yeah.
You ready what he's doing? He's doing a reboot of one of my all-time favorite fucking films. Not like top 5, but I'm talking like top
Jumanji.
30. He's doing that too, I think.
Yeah, yes. he's literally filming 7 movies.
He is.
Here.
Ready? Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, wow.
Fuck that, man. Kurt Russell, you're my boy, dude.
I've never seen that. That's one
dude!
Of those. I know, that's one of those I have to see.
I could see him in that role.
I don't give a dude. Jack Verdon, Kurt Russell, that film is so close. I love that film. I love it. And it's going to be terrible. Like, sorry, Rock, but I'm with you on everything else. Everything else he's done has been pretty... Except
I mean,
the Earthquake film is a piece of shit.
And even if it's terrible, it's still going to make money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah? Especially with... he has all the press in the entire world. He's producing. He's the handsomest man on Earth, apparently, according
he's
to
He's the people's champion.
He's got a great body.
He does. I mean, do you watch his Instagram videos?
No.
I don't.
Dude, I inspirationally jerk off to him fucking lifting. Whenever he squats or, like, does those shoulder shrugs, I'm like, this guy is an absolute animal. I recommend following him above any other celebrity.
He's so likable, too, man. You can't
hate
him.
I can't believe he stayed married to his wife long as he did.
Right.
Because the fucking trim...
Are they not?
No, they're not, which is funny, because now his wife... I think his wife is his agent... And she's like the executive producer on Ballers, which must have been thrown there in the fucking divorce hearings.
Right.
But I mean, like, the fact he stayed married as long, like, when he was the fucking the people's champion back when I was watching wrestling in the late 90s, I'm like, dude, he must be fucking slaying, like, white trash. He must be slaying Greenville, North Carolina 25.
Right.
Now it's like he's fucking, like, Emily Ratajkowski level-esque kind of broad.
Doesn't he have a new, baby?
I don't know.
I think he does.
Why don't you go on your Instagram account and find out, Mike?
I'm pretty sure.
And you want to know something? I met him years ago.
Humble brag.
And he was really nice.
He oozes charisma like no other guy could aspire to. I can only imagine. It's just like...
I'll tell you the guy who I met who had the most charisma.
Bill Clinton.
Exactly.
I hear that everywhere I go.
And I was in a room. It was... Clinton was there. Bono was in the room. Michael Stipe.
Okay. Wait, a UN convention?
No, I was working a pre-griming party at the Marriott Marquis. And... Gwen Stefani was there.
How'd she look in real life?
This was in the 90s.
I mean, she's still beautiful.
When she just broke. So, yeah. But Clinton walked that in, and everyone just kind of grabbed him. He had something about him. I met Jagger, I met Paul McCartney, okay? There was something about Clinton that just, he had that thing that you just can't describe, but you just gravitate towards him.
Huh. And next thing you know, Jeffrey Paul's blown in the bathroom. Like, what happened here? What the fuck?
I would have.
I felt the exact same when I met Steve from Blue's Clues.
I think I was going to say Buzz from Home Alone as a callback. Buzz.
I did meet Steve from Blue's Clues in the airport when I was 15 years old. I was heading to Ireland for Gaelic football, and one of my buddies ran up to him and goes, "You're fucking Steve from Blue's Clues." And he's like, "I am." He's like, "Thought you were dead from heroin, bro." And he's like, "Nope, still here."
Best compliment here in all day.
Yeah.
And then he's flying coach with you assholes.
Yeah, right? He's sitting in between us.
He's in the bitch seat. Next up, we got the film that ruined Brad and Angelina's marriage. Fucking Marion Cotillard. Ugh, that's a step down from Angelina. But listen, 8 kids are around the house. I guess your dick's got to get hard somewhere else. The film is called Allied, and a colossal bomb in the theater, I might add.
I heard it was great, though.
I heard mixed reviews.
Really?
Yeah. I saw a couple films. I'll share once we're done this game. Jeffrey Paul, what are the numbers?
Okay, numbers. I think you're going to lose this one, my friend.
Okay.
You predicted high. You went 42. I went 37.
Uh-huh.
I think Allen's going to win this one with 22.
Allen Finn, 200 grand off, $21.8 million.
Wow.
A colossal bomb. Colossal.
Have to let Finn know that.
Good for him. Next on the list is the film that Jeffrey Paul aspires to see, Bad Santa 2.
I loved the first one.
Okay. Give me the numbers.
All right.
He's laughing already.
Yeah, this is bad. You said 11. I said 35.
That's Apatow numbers.
Yeah. And
Apatow numbers.
Alan said 12.
Well, listen, if this was The Price is Right, someone would be getting $1,000 for getting it right on the head. And that person, me. $11 million.
Wow.
Give me $1,000, bitch.
You told that.
Yeah, man. I told you it'd be a piece of shit. Next one up is the I Don't Give a Fuck film, and of course the box office also reflected it. Rules don't apply. The
Who's
tweener film, exactly. Was that the Woody Harrelson one?
Yeah.
Tweener.
It looks like it could be an interesting movie.
Let me know when it comes to Netflix, and then maybe I'll give it a looky-loo. Right. Give me the numbers, Jeffrey Paul.
This was weird. You and I both predicted the same number. We both went with 10, and Alan went with 8.
Finn strikes again. 2.7.
Jesus Christ.
Alan Finn, the under was the way to go this week.
That was in like pretty wide release, too.
It was wide. All these were wide release. These are not these independent bullshit.
Oh, by the way, that Black Christmas movie was almost Christmas.
Almost Christmas, you know what I mean. And it was almost a hit. Okay.
If it was really a Black Christmas movie, it would be called Late Christmas.
If you call it a Christmas. Mm-hmm. We've got Jeffrey Paul. That's a light 2 weeks for us. We only have 3 films this week, for the next 2 weeks here. We're going to start with a film coming out this weekend, which is coming out all by its lonesome self. No competition whatsoever. It's in a genre in itself. This one, though, it looks like it's been done 18 times. This one called Office Christmas Party.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jennifer Aniston, Jason Bateman, and the next to be most annoying guy in the world is
T.J. Miller.
T.J. Miller.
I like T.J. Miller. I think he's funny.
Yeah, he's going to...
Do you like his stand-up?
I haven't seen much of it, but I know I've seen his like Lettermans and stuff like that, and they're really funny.
I know he's
like really experimental now, I think. He does kind of...
He does guys?
Spooky stuff.
Okay. Office Christmas Party. What do you guys think? Mike Ken, we'll start with a guess. What do you think it's going to pull down opening weekend?
26 million.
26 for Mike Ken and Jeffrey Paul.
I think it's going to be big, man. I think everyone's going to go see this. I'm going to go 45. Yeah.
No competition. Not a bad guess. Looks like Mike Ken and I are going to be pretty much hand in hand here. I said 28.
Mm.
28. R-rated film.
I think it'll do well, though.
It'll
sure.
do well, yeah. but not as... It'll do... it'll do well.
It's got a big cast, though.
It does.
A ton of fucking people. Who's the director of it? Do you know?
I did not do that in my research. I have no budget on this either. This looks like horrible Bosses 1, 2, and 3. Like,
Jason Bateman's in it.
Yeah, and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Right, there you go.
It's the same kind of vibe.
Kate McKinnon, yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and I think DJ Bell is pretty hot from Deadpool and everything. So,
yeah,
I can see it doing, and no one's going against it yet. This movie's going to do big.
I think I'm on the low end.
From what I hear, I think Kate McKinnon crushes this movie. That's what a bunch of people told me.
Right.
Already.
She needs a makeup after Ghostbusters. All right, not that I saw it. Next one up, the film that Hugh Jackman turned down, but Will Smith said yes. Film about a man going through his life paces and. Accepting death, writing letters to death and jealousy and envy. The film is called Collateral Beauty.
Jesus
Will Smith.
Christ. What the fuck is Will Smith doing? He's like, every movie that he picks is like how Jim Carrey went with The Majestic after Truman Show.
And
he's,
Yes Man.
Yeah, he's just got like this fucking taste for Oscar glory on the tip of his tongue and he just wants to return to that place. It's like, dude, just do a dope-ass action movie that requires you to act a little fucking bit and get back to the Will Smith that was incredible and everybody fell in love with.
Just come say, I'm like Lowry. That's all I'm going to see. Bad Boys 3, which they are doing.
Oh yeah, that is coming out, right?
I don't have much hopes for that. Bad Boys 2 was a piece of shit, I thought. I love Bad Boys 1.
I don't know, I like the Haitian shootout scene.
That was good.
Who is that in my house?
The music scene was great. Music was great in that film.
The ecstasy scene, that's not bad.
I didn't like either one of them.
Shame on you. Michael Bay knows how to fuck a sequel up. His first films are always great, then after that, like for example, I'm a huge Transformers fan, that was my favorite cartoon toy as a kid. The Transformers sequels were progressively bad, which beyond.
Is that with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, and with the Dinobots, I'm like, can't fuck up the Dinobots.
TJ Miller.
Exactly. Can't fuck up the Dinobots. Oh, they did. Yeah, no, it's just such shit. But here's the thing.
Doesn't one of the Transformers, like, do a speech about, like, humanity?
They do in one of them. I forgot. Again, after the first one, it just
it's
shit.
Like the end of
get
the first
this.
One.
Do you know the plot of the new one, which you're shooting now? They go and they deal with King fucking Arthur.
Huh.
Yeah. It's going to make a shitload of money only in China. Like, well, it's going to make a lot of money, period. But it's going to be, if you can give an eighth of a star, that's what it's going to get here. It's going to be fucking, the last one was such shit. Like, I will never pay to see another Transformers film after that last one was so terrible.
I won't be sold until they have a fleshlight Transformer.
So tell us a little bit more about Collateral Beauty.
It's one of those nice touchy-feely Pursuit of Happiness-esque films.
I love that.
I never saw that.
That movie.
It's in the queue.
That was good, but this almost strikes me as like whatever that 7 Degrees movie that he did.
Or the 8 was 8 Pounds? Oh, 6 Degrees Separation or 8
or
Pounds.
No, 8 Pounds. That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. He's getting all fucking emotional. I guess this fucking, well, testosterone's leaving. Get back to Mike Lowry, motherfucker. Give me a number here. I should also, well, I'll tell you what's coming out next week, but Jeffrey Paul, give me a number for Collateral Beauty.
Wide release?
Wide release. Everything's wide release here.
Collateral Beauty. I'm going to say, I don't think it's going to be all that great. I'm going to say 10.
I've got 21.
I've got 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think you guys are too low. I'm going to tell you why.
Who does the movie appeal to? Who's going to go see it?
Everyone who's not going to see the next film on the list. And that film is a film that I hopefully think is going to be fucking great. I already bought my tickets for it, so go fuck yourself, Jeffrey Paul. I know a comment's coming for you. Rogue One, Star Wars.
Oh, that's cool, man.
I'm hoping it's good. Vader's in it. I'm like, well, you sold me already.
So are they? It's not the same characters from the most recent one?
No.
It's an offshoot movie, but under the same umbrella.
It is. It's going to take place before Star Wars because it's all about how they steal the plans for the first Death Star.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that's why Vader's in it.
Well, that's funny that they're doing it because it's clearly an unsuccessful journey. Like, spoiler alert, we know how that ends.
Well, they all die.
Yeah.
But at least you see the how-to of it.
you really get to see the build-up until your heart gets broken.
This is just a nice stalling film for all the Star Wars fucking nerds until Episode 8 comes out. I think it's next year or the following. I think it's the following year, Episode 8 comes out. This film, the budget for this new one, $200 million. Mike Cannon, what is Rogue One going to make opening weekend?
$120 million.
Jeffrey Paul.
Well, first, you know, I won't be going to see it.
That's because you're not a fun person.
I'm not a nerd.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Transcends time, this film.
I hate Star Wars.
You hate anything that's ending remotely sci-fi.
What's the highest grossing weekend? I'm under it there, right?
I think it was The Dark Knight or Dark Knight Rises. Maybe 200.
Yeah, what did you say, 121?
I said 120. It actually is probably going to be higher than that, but I'll keep it.
What weekend is it actually coming out?
It's not this weekend, so let's see. Today's the 5th. I think it's the 16th. It actually comes out on a Thursday,
okay.
The 16th.
The 16th is a Friday.
No, it's a Thursday. It's getting rolled out at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night.
And that counts towards the weekend?
No,
it does.
Is the 15th.
Whatever it is. Okay, the 15th. It's a Thursday. It's the day. Another fuck. What do you... What are you, some kind of numerology bullshit?
Arm wrestle over it.
No.
Two?
Seven. I think of the dates in my head of shows that I'm doing, so I just know what date
is. Is that when the zodiac sign changes? Is they're going to tell me that fucking Capricorn's now in full swing?
I don't get into that either.
Okay.
No, I hate Star Wars, but man, there's a lot.
Pick with your head, not with your heart.
The kids fucking love
it. A lot of nerds out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
or people who just enjoy a good quality story, piece of shit.
But it's the week before Christmas. But again, a lot of nerds. God, man, I'm gonna go higher than Mike. I'm gonna say, shit. I think there'd be no, nothing's going against it, right?
Collateral Beauty is.
So nothing's going against.
Oh
it.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
It's two different audiences.
I'm going 140.
Oh, fuck, you're on top. I got 150. And I think I'm in the low end.
I think you are too.
Yeah, it could easily make budget back in one fell swoop in the weekend, and that's it.
Think how sick that is.
That's
in one weekend. It's gonna be amazing. $200 million.
The fucking Avengers films does that shit all the time. Captain America damn near did that the last one.
The opening weekend in one weekend.
Like even though Lucas sold this because Lucasfilms is still attached, is he getting a piece of the profit?
He created. He definitely is.
He's the biggest asshole in the world. If he just like sold out.
He's
no dummy. Poor Stan Lee got fucked on most of that Marvel stuff. They decided to cut him in after all that shit went fucking platinum.
Really?
Yeah. He sold the rights for nothing. Because think about it. There wasn't a legit comic book film until, well, Batman was DC.
Yeah.
The first Marvel successful film, Blade. And that was 98.
Oh shit! Yeah, I guess I never.
And then X-Men 1 was 2000, and that's when this right. show went overdrive.
That was a great movie, actually. I remember seeing that in the theater.
X-Men 1. Yeah, oh, me too. Like, I loved it.
Really?
Doesn't hold up over as well. X-Men 2, I love.
Yeah, yeah.
3 was a piece of shit. First Class was great. Days of Future Past was amazing, and the Apocalypse was terrible.
Oh, the X-Men 2 was the debut of the RX-7, right? That car. It was Cyclops' car that Wolverine stole. The
yes.
Yeah, yeah, that was a cool car.
Damn.
Did either of you guys see Doctor Strange?
Yes.
Was it good?
Yes, believe it or not. I had no desire to see it until our buddy, who we're going to hang out with about an hour, Ray Gooch, is like, I'm telling you it's good. Gooch said it's great. I said, all right, I'll give it, because no one gave a shit about Doctor Strange, and he's like a tertiary character, and it's good. It really is good.
It took me forever to see Deadpool, but when I saw it, I really enjoyed
it's great.
It.
Oh, yeah, it's really
excellent.
Good.
I saw a couple this week. I went to go see, God damn it, listen to your gut, kids, that's what I say. I went to go see Arrival, because everyone said how great it was.
Yeah.
I said it looked like Contact 2.0, that film with Jodie Foster.
I love that. You don't like that movie?
No, it was terrible.
First of all, that movie is
Dead Dad, great.
It's fantastic based on how they approach aliens, because it's based on a Carl Sagan book, so it's about how our meat bodies are incapable of processing aliens, because they exist on other levels of
consciousness.
Speak
slower for Jeff, please.
Jeff, just do mushrooms, and you'll figure it out.
I'm captivated by Cannon, because he's a smart guy.
He is.
Every once in a while.
He's a very smart
That's guy. Beyond a Rockland County College fucking degree right there. He's
well,
crushing it.
Yeah. That's
I hated Contact. I saw Arrival. Everyone's like, you have to see it in the theater. It's that spectacular visually. The guy who directed it, Sicario. Sicario, great film if you haven't seen that. Mm. Add that to your queue. This film was boring. Not boring, but it was just like, meh. Like, you can wait till Netflix to see Arrival. I'm not crazy about
yeah.
it. Then I also caught on, because I have a shitload of those Fios points, I watched for 30 minutes and said, a comedy that doesn't make me laugh in half an hour is not a comedy. And that film is Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Holy fuck, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah. Why did you go see that?
Again, it was free at my house, and I said, okay. And
I would watch that on a plane.
Yeah, there you go. That's
yeah.
the exact mentality I had.
Sure.
But it's terrible. There's like one, like, I kind of, ha, okay, laugh.
Yeah.
That's
a bummer.
The only reason why I couldn't get fucking Suicide Squad, because you had to pay for it, you couldn't use your points for it, or the other one I wanted to watch. Fuck.
Are they making a branch-off movie of that? Like, I know that was the rumor, because they had all that footage or whatever of the Joker and Harley Quinn.
There's a director's cut on demand.
Oh,
you
yeah?
You pay for it. Yeah, I was like, well, I'm not fucking paying for this, because it's terrible. I'll
right.
watch it for free, but I'm not going to fucking pay for
yeah.
it. That, oh, and the new Bourne film, I know you hated it, but that was also one. I was like, oh, let me see if I can use my points to get it. They said, no, you can only
Matt Damon, talk about doing fucking steroids.
Dude, he's yoked in that fucking scene.
He looked great in it. But the movie went nowhere.
He throws a hell of a left-hand cross.
I was going to say, that fucking opening
that's the,
bit.
Yeah. That's the best scene in the movie.
Or the Vegas chase scene, I'm sure, was pretty fucking amazing.
Too long.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Again, that's why I'm not paying 15 bucks for films anymore.
Yeah. A Brinks truck is the greatest vehicle ever made. That was my actual quote from it. Yeah,
by the way,
it's awful.
So yeah, so those films, Arrival, don't bother. Wait till the fuck. Amy Adams may get nominated. I didn't think it was that great. Like, there's nothing spectacular to her character. You're like, yes. This guy didn't.
I liked her in American Hustle.
I never saw that.
Here's a, see, it,
yeah.
it's okay. I didn't like
she
it.
She was very
I did not like it.
Big
the,
Christian Bale guy, though.
Yeah, Bale's fucking amazing and damn near everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
Newsies? Come on.
Empire of the Sun?
I used to have to sing Santa Fe for Company when they would come over.
I can see you in Newsies. Yeah. Wearing a doily
That's my dream, man.
Selling papes.
Oh, yeah.
Amy Adams has those moments where she's like, she's hot, and like, yeah, she looks good, and other times like, nah, okay.
Did you ever see Night at the Smithsonian, Night at the Museum, the second one?
No, I haven't seen any of that.
Yeah.
She plays Amelia Earhart in it, and she wears like these really super tight pants. Oh my God, man.
She's like 41 or 42, or she's like,
she looks young. She's really sexy.
Yeah, she's okay. Like, I'm trying to figure out.
Stop talking
about
me.
That's it? Are we good?
Okay.
Oh.
You have 1 minute.
No, we have 1 minute. There's the light, kids. Well, listen, let's cut to the chase. Mike Cannon, where can we see you?
You can find me on Twitter at I am Mike Cannon. When is this coming out?
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Oh, cool. So on Thursday, if you're in Rockland County, New York, I'm at Levity featuring for Lisa Traeger. Then Friday and Saturday, I'm headlining Stitches in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And New Year's Eve, I'm at New York Comedy Club.
Cool. Yeah. Jeffrey Paul, where can we find you?
16th and 17th. I'll be down at the Atlantic City Comedy Club with AJ White.
Okay.
And New Year's Eve, I'm going to be in Frenchtown, New Jersey, at Artie's.
Never even heard of that.
With Johnny Watson.
Johnny Watson. Oh, okay. We all know Johnny Watson.
J Dubs.
Yeah, buddy. I am going to be. I could be the Caroline tonight, but who cares? It's fucking too late for that. Who gives a shit? December 19th, I'll be at Dangerfield, whatever. The rest of the bar shows, who gives a shit? More importantly, let's talk about the old Comics Watching Comics, kids. The episodes keep on rolling out, so stay tuned. ComicsWatchingComics.com or at ComicsWatching on Twitter. You can find all the rest of my shit. KevinGoatee.com. You can find all my NFL picks. That's right, 7-0-1 yesterday, motherfuckers. $2,500. Take care. See you next time. You cut me off?
No.
Oh, cool. There you go.